page 1027 on the Black Bible that you might find in front of you. If you forgot to bring your Bible, we'd love to have you read along with us. Daniel chapter 6. Definitely one of the most well-known chapters in the whole Bible. It records the story for which Daniel is most famous for. Daniel in the lion's den. It's a wonderful story. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to give us insight. Father, we're so grateful for the opportunity to read thrilling stories in Your Word. Father, I want to thank You this morning that as Your people, we are safe. That You've given us security. Lord, that You are our shield, our covering, our strong tower. And knowing that, Lord, we can live confidently for You, standing strong for You, no matter what challenges might come. Lord, we want to serve You with all our hearts and give us the courage to do so. Bless this time in Your Word, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I think we are all familiar with the actual physical lions that Daniel had to spend the evening with in that den, and how God protected Daniel from those lions. It's a great story, but please understand this morning that there were other, bigger, more ferocious lions that Daniel was dealing with in this chapter that he didn't even know about. And yet God was also protecting him from those lions. Let's begin reading this story. Look at verse 1. It says, "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom. And over these, three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm." There's a new king in charge here in chapter 6. There's a new kingdom in power in chapter 6. In the first five chapters of Daniel, it's the Babylonian kingdom with the Babylonian kings like Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar. But the Medo-Persian Empire defeated the Babylonian Empire, as we saw at the end of Daniel chapter 5. Here in Daniel chapter 6, it's the Medo-Persian Empire, and Darius is the king. And you notice here that this extraordinary man named Daniel continues to shine in that transfer of power. And normally that doesn't happen. Normally when a new kingdom comes into town, out with the old, in with the new, right? But Daniel is continuing to shine here. And understand that he's in his late 70s. Some Bible commentators believe that he's pushing 80 here. Darius sets 120 satraps over his kingdom, and then he puts three governors over them, and Daniel's one of them, and he's so impressed with this Daniel, sees such an excellent spirit in Daniel, that he's giving thought to giving Daniel the whole operation. 80 years old. Verse 3 says that Daniel distinguished himself above all the rest. And that characterized the entire life of Daniel, his personal life and his professional life. Distinguished above everyone. For some 50 plus years in the Babylonian kingdom, He served in high places. Beginning in his teenage years, he was the cream of the crop, top drawer. And now into his 70s, into a new kingdom, in his teens, his 20s, his 30s, his 40s, all the way up to his 70s, pushing 80. What a man Daniel was. He was so faithful, and God blessed him so abundantly. You know, there's a promise in Psalm 92. It says, "The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh, flourishing, to declare that the Lord is upright." Christian, do you know that God wants that for your life? Do you know that He wants you to be fruitful? Perhaps even most fruitful at the end of your life. Like Daniel. What a testimony. Well, the other governors and the 120 satraps don't like Daniel. They're jealous of Daniel. And of course, instead of improving their own lives and their own skill, making themselves more promotable, they band together to tear Daniel down. It says in verse 4, "So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom." These guys were very bad news. They're like human lions. A pack of human lions joining together to absolutely destroy Daniel. It is basically 122 verses 1. Completely unbeknownst to Daniel, they begin to investigate and scrutinize every aspect of Daniel's life to find dirt, to find skeletons in his closet. No stone to be left unturned. Does he have any shady business deals, any bribes, any moral lapses, anything that they might find in Daniel's life that they can bring up, tell Darius about it, destroy his credibility? This is a massive character assassination campaign. And Daniel has no idea that this is going on. Listen up. When you serve the Lord with all your heart, when you are that man and woman of integrity, when God blesses you and your fruitfulness is so obvious, there are going to be people that won't like you. There will be people that hate you, that want to destroy you. Jesus said, if they hate you, keep in mind they hated me first. And so as you follow Christ, there are going to be some obvious enemies in your life. But then there are going to be some enemies in your life that aren't so obvious. And they will be doing harm behind the scenes. Just be on alert for that. But remember this, we have a God who never goes to sleep. We have a God who is our shield. He sees all and He knows all. He's got your back. So think of this. 122 men began this investigation of every detail of Daniel's life. But look what we read in verse 4. "But they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful. Nor was there any error or fault found in him." Listen to that. 122 men investigating every detail of Daniel's life, and they came up with Zero. No dirt. No skeletons. And keep in mind, 50 plus years basically as a politician, in public service, in high positions of power and influence. I don't know about you, but corruption today is almost synonymous with the word politician. As people get into those positions of power and use it for selfish things. You know, there was an investigation done of the 100th United States Congress. This is in the late 80s. That Congress was analyzed for corruption. Here's what they found. 29 were arrested for spousal abuse. 7 were convicted of fraud. 19 arrested for writing bad checks. 117 bankrupted 2 or more businesses. 14 were arrested on drug charges. 8 were arrested on shoplifting charges. 21 had lawsuits against them. 84 were charged while driving while intoxicated. I wonder what the analysis would be of our current Congress. This is a position that Daniel occupied. And during that entire time, not one piece of dirt could they find. For 50 to 60 plus years, he was faithful, honest, trustworthy, competent, responsible, talented, hardworking, God-fearing in his day-to-day conduct of life. Now, do you think that's why God, that may be a clue as to why God blessed Daniel so much? What a testimony. And by the way, my brother and sister in Christ, this should be true of all of us. You know, if 122 men and women began to investigate and scrutinize your life, would you survive it? How do you conduct yourself in your business? Do you honor and please the Lord? Or are you a part of things that give opportunity for the enemy of your soul to later exploit? Listen, it is how you walk. It is how you govern your life and serve the Lord in those day-to-day details. And Daniel did a top job. So they do this investigation. There's absolutely no, they can't find anything. Can you see how frustrated they are? So these guys agree then, if we're going to get Daniel in trouble, then we're going to have to use his own faith against him. We're going to have to use his commitment to his God against him. We're going to have to orchestrate some kind of a circumstance that represents or introduces a conflict between his faith and the law of the land. That's the only way we're going to be able to get this guy in trouble. Verse 5 says, then these men said, we shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. That is absolutely diabolical. And so look what they come up with. Verse 6. So these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said thus to him, King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and satraps, the counselors and advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. They come before the king. They tell the king, we've all consulted together and we came up with a great idea. You are an awesome king. I mean, you are all that. And we got this great idea. We think you're an awesome king. And to show our appreciation, we'd like to declare the next 30 days, the next month, to be Worship King Darius Month. We want you to have all the attention. So we want to make it illegal for a month to have any prayer. Nobody will be allowed to pray to any other god or petition any other man. Everyone must go to you. And if any man were to break that law, they'd have to pay with their life. They'd be cast into a lion's den. The person who breaks that law will be eaten alive by lions. And they're absolutely being deceptive here. It says they told the king, we've all got together. Everyone got together. We all consulted and we came up with this. Do you think they had Daniel at that meeting? And I promise you, King Darius would later regret, man, why didn't I talk to Daniel? Why didn't I find out what Daniel had to say? We can see that these guys are also utterly full of deceit. They're telling the king, oh, you're so awesome. We love you. You need to be God for a month. They don't give a rip about King Darius. This is a plot against Daniel. This is a plot to raise themselves up. And King Darius, he gets caught. He bites. Here he is in power. They're flattering him. They're appealing to his pride. He probably thought, no, I can't do that, guys. But, you know, since you insist, he signed the law. And understand something very, very important about the Medo-Persian law. Very rigid law. No grace. Letter of the law. If the king signed a decree, that decree could not be revoked. The king could not even reverse it himself. And that's what this guy did. This became an official law in the books. They have effectively banned prayer for a month. Now, here's the thought. What if that happened here in America? I mean, it sounds crazy, but let's just, what if a law was passed that banned prayer for a month? What if a law was passed that banned all prayer meetings for a month? Just from a practical standpoint, looking at your own personal prayer life, would that even make a difference? Would that even make a difference in your prayer time with your family? Would it make a difference in church? You know, if prayer was banned for a month, would American churches even notice? Would American churches even notice? How important is prayer? Is prayer important? Top priority. Top priority. Oh, how desperately we need prayer. And yet, I have found that prayer is the most neglected discipline in the Christian church and in among Christians' lives. Well, this decree will not keep Daniel from praying. Look at verse 10. It says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Daniel knew about the decree. He found out. He knew how ridiculous it was. He knew exactly what had been signed into law. And there's no doubt in my mind that when he found out about it, he knew what was going on behind the scenes. He knew that these guys had instigated all. But he went home. He went into his upper room. He opened the windows towards Jerusalem. He got on his knees. And three times that day, he prayed to his God in a way that he could be seen. And please understand that this wasn't Daniel being a rebel. This isn't Daniel holding some, you know, some public protest demonstration against that law. This was Daniel just being Daniel. It says this was his custom since his early days. For 50 plus years, since he's been a teenager, taken captive from Jerusalem to Babylon, every day, Daniel got on his knees and prayed formally three times a day. And do you understand that that was his heart towards God? That was his commitment. That was his worship to the living God. Nothing will interrupt that. Not even this decree from the king. Do you think that that might also be a good reason as to why Daniel was such a blessed man? All of his life, faithfully praying to God, pouring out his heart. Well, verse 11 says, then these men assembled, found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Of course they did. They were spying. This was a trap. If they would have had video equipment in those days, I'm sure they would have videoed Daniel praying. Verse 12, they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. So they answered and said before the king, and hear their vitriolic, poisonous hatred tone, that Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard to you, for you, O king, or for the decree that you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day. That Daniel! We busted him. We saw him praying. You made a decree, O king. Anybody who breaks this law has to be cast into the lion's den. We saw Daniel. Notice how the king reacts to this. Verse 14. The king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with who? Himself. It is at that moment that the king realized he had been duped. It was at that moment that he realized that he had fallen into a trap. And that he was in danger of losing his best man. Goes on to say in verse 14, and the king set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. This king did everything, the rest of the day, trying to find any legal loophole. Anything that he could do to revoke that stupid law that he signed. To get some kind of way around it. He couldn't find any way around it. And here come the human lions. Verse 15, then these men approached the king and said to the king, know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and Persians that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be change. You've got to throw Daniel in the lion's den. Nothing he could do. Nothing he could do to save Daniel. And by the way, I want you to notice, you notice right here and take note right here how rigid those guys were with that law. How they were so willing to use the letter of the law against Daniel. No grace, all judgment. Because that will come back to bite them later. Pun intended. That will really come back to bite these guys later. We have a very reluctant King Darius in verse 16. It says, so the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signets of his lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. Darius is pulling for Daniel. Notice how the king even recognized the steadfast faith in this man. But his hands are tied. He has to put Daniel in this den. And can you imagine how terrifying that would be to go into a den with 15 wild, crazed, ravenous, starving lions, completely unpredicted, all by yourself? Can you imagine? I remember visiting a zoo once, and we went to a real impressive lion exhibit. Anybody ever seen the lions on exhibit at a zoo? Well, I got to one exhibit at one point, and I got there right for feeding time. And what they had done is they had corralled the lions to one section of their pen, their den. And these guys came out, and there's a big boulder in the middle of this thing, and they came up with these huge buckets of raw, bloody meat. Plop. On the top of this large boulder. Then they got out of the way. They let the lions back in, and these guys, they come strolling around, and they began to strut their stuff. And they began to roar. I've never heard roaring like that before. The king, you know, king of the beasts. And they ripped that raw meat to shreds. It was actually scary to watch. And I thought, as I'm watching this, man, I am glad I'm on this side of the fence. The den that Daniel would have been put in, it was a pit. It was a pit, and it was divided up into two compartments, and there was a gate that separated both compartments. All the lions were over here. Daniel would have gone in through a door over here, climbed down some stairs, door sealed behind, and then eventually that gate between would be lifted, allowing the lions to... This is where Daniel was placed for a night. Verse 18 says, now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No musicians were brought before him. Also, his sleep went from him. There would be no entertainment for King Darius, no musicians, no Netflix, no feasting. Fasting. Here's a king that is sick. So worried about Daniel. Now, in contrast to that, I believe that Daniel had a great night's sleep. I believe that he had a peaceful rest. I believe that he was praying prayers like the one we read in Psalm 22, save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. Save me that I may declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. I am certain that he prayed. I am certain that Daniel experienced the peace of God. In fact, one commentator said here, better to be a child of faith in a den of lions than a king in a palace without faith. Absolutely true. Absolutely true. God would be with Daniel. Listen, God would be with Daniel in the lion's den. And if Daniel's God is your God, he'll be with you in the lion's den as well. There is nothing for you to fear. Verse 19 says, then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, is your God whom you serve continually been able to deliver you from the lions? And I'll bet there was a long, dramatic pause. In fact, Daniel may have been asleep. Why are you waking me up? It's early. Verse 21, then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. You were right about my God, king. You said that my God would help me. You were right. Because my God is alive. He sent his angel. He stopped the mouths of lions. Verse 23, now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him, because he believed in his God. Not only was he not eaten, there was no scratch. There was no bruise. There was no fight. Daniel was completely and totally delivered. And by the way, this is how he got into the Hall of Faith. Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Daniel stopped the mouth of lions. Now, look what happens to these accusers. And let me just give you a little warning. This next verse is like rated R, gladiator, graphic violence. Verse 24 says, and the king gave the command, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came down to the bottom of the den. These guys didn't even make it down the stairs. The lions played volleyball with them. Tore them apart, limb for limb, broke all of their bones in pieces. Devoured them. What a horrific way to die. God not only protected Daniel from the physical lions, he also protected Daniel from these human lions. They would never bother Daniel again. And by the way, there's a principle here. If you pick on one of God's people, you are picking on God. And I believe we serve a God who is a God of poetic justice. God will normally judge a person in the very harm that they meant for the person that they were trying to give harm to. In fact, Psalm 7 says, behold, The wicked brings forth iniquity, yet he conceives trouble and brings forth falsehood. He made a pit and dug it out, and has fallen into the ditch which he made. His trouble shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealings with others shall come down on his own head. That is exactly what happened to these guys. Now, it's very troubling to hear that the wives and the children were cast into the lion's den. And it should be troubling. We don't understand that. We don't like that, do we? Innocent women and children? Remember that rigid Medo-Persian law that I told you to take note of a few minutes ago? Well, there was a rigid Medo-Persian law on the books that everyone knew about, and it was an incredible deterrent to crime in those days. There is a specific law in the book that says if a man commits a crime worthy of an execution according to the king, then not only must the man be executed, but his entire family. That was on the books. That was the Medo-Persian law, and you couldn't alter it. And remember, these guys wanted all that for Daniel. Letter of the law, man. No grace. But God threw them a wild card, didn't he? Because he saved Daniel. Now, by subjecting Daniel to that law, they subjected themselves and their wives and children to that same law. They were fools. And all of their families paid for it. By the way, when you sin, it doesn't just impact you. Do you understand that? And I've spoken to people who say, well, I can just do this little sin in my life. It's just for me. It just hurts me. Your sin doesn't just hurt you. Your sin hurts your family. My brothers, listen to me. Brothers in Christ. You are the leader in your home. And when you fall into sin, it doesn't just hurt you. It does hurt your wife and children. It brings them along in a pathway of destruction. Wife, same thing. Children, same thing. Children, if you live in rebellion in your home, do you see the impact that has on the whole family? Our sins, our crimes impact innocent bystanders. The flip side is true, though. However, if you're that righteous dad, if you're that righteous mom, if you're that righteous child, it breathes health, righteousness, and fruitfulness and wholeness into other people's lives. May God make us all men and women like that. Amen. Look how this chapter finishes. It says, then King Darius wrote to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. A letter from the new king to everyone in his realm. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. He's made another decree. It cannot be altered. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Second time this has happened in Daniel's life. God uses him to bring a king to faith, who then writes a letter expressing the greatness of God worldwide. Awesome. There were physical lions in this story. God saved Daniel from that. There were human lions in this story. God saved Daniel. But please understand that there was another lion also working behind the scenes in Daniel chapter 6. I believe Daniel chapter 6 describes a direct satanic attack upon Daniel. This was Satan going after Daniel. Daniel was a high priority target. He is a man of God. God does amazing things through him. God's trying to save kings and kingdoms through Daniel. The devil wanted to take him out. This was all being orchestrated by the invisible lion behind the scenes. Daniel had no idea, probably. But God was saving him from the attack of Satan. And God even turned that attack into an occasion by which his greatness would be proclaimed worldwide. Isn't that awesome? My brother and sister in Christ, we need to live like Daniel. We need to learn from the life of Daniel. We need to be faithful in our jobs. We need to be faithful men and women of God who stand upon godly convictions when it hurts to do so. We need to be men and women of prayer. There needs to be strong, strong prayer in our lives. And we also need to be on alert. As we follow Christ, the lions will come. There will be people that will come to make it hard on you. And there is a lion. Satan is still around. And he wants to make it difficult for us. Peter, writing to Christians in 1 Peter chapter 5, said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." There's a lion after you. He's real. I'm convinced that Satan would kill us. At the very least, completely destroy and discredit our Christian witness. Jesus one day said to Peter, made a chilling statement. He said, "Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan's asked for you that he may sift you like wheat." Would that comfort you to have Jesus share that with you? Satan's been asking for you, Peter. Yeah, he wants to sift you like wheat. If I were Peter, I'd be like, "Well, what did you tell him?" Jesus said, "But I've prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." I just want you to be on alert. There are lions. And in fact, that might even describe right now these weird things that are happening in your life as you're trying to follow Christ. We live in something called supernatural warfare, my friend. It's real. Be on alert. But don't be afraid. Look how God protected Daniel. Look how God protects us. We have a God who doesn't sleep. We have a God who could be our shield and is our shield. Stay in the fight. And by the way, do it for the rest of your life. Daniel, he had to face tests his whole life. You would think by 80, God would give him a little break. But as it turns out, at 80, he's given what could arguably be called his greatest test. His greatest test. Strong to the end. The Bible is so clear. Christians are safe. We're in a battle, but we are under his protective care. Now, if you're here this morning and you've never received Christ, you are not safe. You are not in the family of God. You are not under his covering. You are not safe behind his shield. The only way to get safe is to get saved. To put your faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we have all sinned and fall short. That our sin keeps us from God. But God has sent his Son to die on the cross for our sins. And that if we place our faith in Jesus Christ, if we admit we're a sinner, he comes in, he transforms our life, he makes us born again, he puts us securely in his family. Will the rest of life be a battle? Oh, yes, it will. But you can live confidently, knowing that you are in the protective care of God. The lion may roar, the lion may huff around, but he can't bite. Ain't got no teeth for Christians. Lord, we thank you for your care. We thank you, Lord, for your great power. I pray that you would greatly encourage your people here this morning. Those who are serving you and experiencing all kinds of opposition right now. Open their eyes to allow them to see what's going on in their lives. And I pray that they would hold firm. Continue to stand on those convictions that they know is absolutely true. Protect them. Lord, I want to pray for anyone here this morning who needs to become a member of your family. If you're here this morning and you have never received Christ, you are not certain that you are under the covering of God, then you need to make certain right now. Don't be uncovered another day, another hour. Be a member of God's kingdom. And you become a member by giving your life to Jesus Christ. Pray this prayer with me right now if you've never done so. Say, Lord Jesus, I want to be safe. I want to be in your family. I want to be in your kingdom. And so right now, I invite you to be my Savior. I admit right now that I am a sinner and I need my sins to be washed away. And I thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Come into my life, wash away all my sins, make me your child. Fill me with your Spirit. Make me a mighty soldier in your army like Daniel. Use my life. In Jesus' name, amen.